Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Slight Edge Advantage. What is it that you do that separates you from the pack? What is your differential? Many times, a lot of people think, oh, I've got to do these great big sweeping differences, and I've got to stick out by, you know, others flashy and neon. Ends up not the case. Scientifically, it's those little things that we do every single day in our business and our lives that really make us stick out. So one of the things that I do, for example, is try to just be consistent every single day with doing something. And for me, it's my calendar. You know, one of the differentiators is that the standard is the standard. The meeting starts at this time. The meeting ends at that time. If you're late, you've missed that time of your meeting. We're not going to go over because you're late. The standard is the standard. I'm kind of known for that. So that's one example of the slight edge advantage that sticks me apart from a lot of my competition in coaching industry. You know, they're just willing to give away too much of their time. Well, it actually lowers your value when you do that. Anyway, put down into the chat or in the feedback sections of this videos and wherever you're listening to this podcast, what is your differential? What is your slight edge advantage? We are going to play. We're going to start something a little different. We're going to play a word from a sponsor, right? Right up front here, then I'm going to come back and introduce today's guest on the Slight Edge Advantage. Stick around. Plenty of Coaches is the platform to find all kinds of experts who share the power of coaching and mentorship with others. Our platform brings together a diverse array of experts in every field imaginable, all committed to helping the members of POC in becoming 1% better each day. Our detailed search fields enables you to locate coaches who resonate with your goals and aspirations. But that's not all. We take learning well beyond traditional boundaries. Our live streaming sessions feature experts who share their lessons and stories, providing our users with a daily dose of inspiration and knowledge and personal engagement. So, if you're looking to improve 1% better on anything in your life, please try plentyofcoaches.com. Perfect place to find the perfect coach. Today on the Slight Edge Advantage, we welcome a graduate of Stanford University with an engineering degree only to run sales teams for 5 years before becoming a leadership consultant. Over the past 15 years, Ono has worked with hundreds of leaders at a wide variety of organizations, including Google, Apple, Salesforce, The Gap, Whole Foods, and Stanford Medicines, just to name a few. His job, to enhance their leadership effectiveness, work more effectively in teams, and scale their impact. Please give a warm welcome to Ono Coleman. Ono, Ono, not Ono, Ono. Oh, no, it's Ono.
How are you, mate?
I'm doing well, man. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And you are coming from California, right?
Yep, out in the Bay Area.
By way of?
Australia.
Australia, that's right. And so you've got that cool accent.
I was actually going to go by way of Houston because that's where I was born.
Really? You're born in Houston?
Yes, I lived there for 2 years and then decided that my accent needed to be even more Southern.
So yeah, I never thought of it quite that way. But that's a differentiator, right? You stick out. People remember
you. Yeah, I've been here for 25 years now and been doing my best to maintain it. I have to watch Crocodile Dundee every now and then.
I just saw that this weekend, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I was in a hotel and, you know, I hate watching commercials, so I try to find some stupid movie to try to go to sleep on. And that one's a good one, though. One of those, it's a winner. So tell us a little bit about the beginning. You know, like I said, engineering degree from Stanford does not scream sales teams and leadership development consultant to me. How did that come about? And really, yeah, what was that little journey?
Yeah, well, so thinking back on it now, it makes a little more sense than it did at the time. But when I was a very young kid, I used to always build things. And so that was partly when my dad said, look, maybe you should do engineering. You seem to like building things. You like pulling things apart. You like to sometimes put them back together. You like to figure out how they work. And I was very curious as a lad and very curious about how do things work and how do you make things. So engineering was the perfect major for that. And then I would join a startup and I got to actually build things and prototype things. And that was all very interesting, test them as well. Then when I transitioned to sales, and you already joked about the accent, but that was actually part of the conversation, was my mentor at the time said, look, we need someone. You built this prototype. We need someone to go out and sell it now. And you've got an accent. So what do you think? And I said, well, I guess, I don't know. I don't really like the reputation of salespeople. I'm not sure I want to go into sales. Oh,
that's interesting.
And he said, well, and fair enough, you're an engineer. So if we send you out to sell without any practice, this is going to end badly for everyone involved. So let's go get yourself some sales training. And so when I went and did that, that's when my eyes were suddenly open to the importance of things like listening and emotional intelligence and psychology and transactional analysis and influence and all the stuff that engineering school had no time for and no coursework for.
Right. But
it's useful in the real world, actually. So then I decided what I see looking back is, I became actually less interested in how do things work and more interested in how do people work. At this point, as I was going through this training.
That's a big one.
It was a big pivot. And I started using myself as a guinea pig as well, because professionally I was learning about humans and influence and leadership and all of that. But then in my personal life too, I was going to retreats and weekend workshops and really trying to figure out like, how do I tick and why do I keep doing these boneheaded things that, you know, I learned from my parents that they got divorced and they weren't that happy. So why am I repeating that now in my relationships? So got to know myself pretty well. And now I like to share that with people, avoid some of that pain, pass it along. So,
yeah, that's great. So let me ask you something. Did you approach sales with a scientific methodology as a result of being an engineer?
You know, I think the short answer is yes. The sales training program that I found, it was the Sandler sales training program. They believe a lot in reinforcement and in practice, and they have a system, and there's this Sandler submarine, and you go through the five different compartments in a row. So there was quite a structure to it. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to my mentor and hero, Ray Liotte, because he was an IBM engineer, and he created this sales funnel, the original sales funnel, based on a scientific methodology, scientific and psychological process driven sales training system. Mm-hmm. So definitely on plentyofcoaches.com in the resources vault, there is a 33 video sales training session of this sales funnel that is absolutely free if you are watching this before January 1st, 2024. So definitely should check that out. Ray did that. That's that mindset that you had, that engineering, you know, systematic mindset. Things have to like make logical sense,
right.
But then the psychological aspect to it, when you get those two to come together, like you did, you've ended up working with some giants. And tell us how that came about.
Yeah. So then after 5 years of engineering, 5 years of sales, I never felt like a pure salesman, you know, in the same way we'll talk about, I think, my sporting career at some point too.
Yes.
I was a decent swimmer, but I didn't have quite all the characteristics to be a great swimmer. So in the same way, like I was decent at sales, but I wasn't, I'm not as coin operated as I think you need to be in sales. I'm competitive, but I didn't feel like that was quite the right arena for me. So it felt like a training ground, a proving ground. So I was also traveling a fair bit. So my daughter was on the way. I thought, man, I've already learned a lot. And so this is one of my slight edges is that I like to be always learning.
Always learning. Yeah.
Just this plateau after a couple of years of like, okay, I've done this job for 5 years now. I sort of know how to do it. It's on automatic. I'm not learning. I'm ready for a next adventure. And I want to take on something new and learn something new. And so then I was chatting with a good mate of mine who he and I had always said, we should start a company together. And so he was a couple months ahead of me in starting this company, but I joined up with him and we founded it and we decided we wanted to bring I mean, so many engineers get promoted to management because they're good engineers, and then they don't get any training. They're just handed the keys. And so, you know, good luck to you. You know,
here's that's the way it is. He's called the Peter Principle, actually. Exactly. Every industry does that.
Yeah. So we thought, you know, having been an engineer myself who needed to learn people skills and needed to learn management, I thought, well, I could teach that. You know, I'm in my early 30s at this time. I could certainly teach anyone in their 20s this stuff, and even anyone in their 30s this stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we started to build a consultancy around that, and I kind of wanted to keep using my engineering degree. I had this little voice in my head that said, "Look, you have a very expensive engineering degree. You should probably go use that at some startup." And I still wanted to save the environment. That was a big driver for me.
In my
early life. But I thought, look, if we magically had clean everything tonight, you went to sleep tonight, woke up tomorrow, everything's solar panels, everything's wind powered, everything's fuel cells, everything's got an electric car, that would be
great. And all the workers that did that are coders now, right?
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
But it was just imagining that transition, like someday that's going to be the case. But even if that happened overnight, there would still be violence and domestic violence and abuse and war, all these boneheaded things that people do to each other wouldn't change just because the technology changed. So if I could work on the human end of the spectrum, that actually feels like it's getting more to the root cause than working using my engineering degree.
Yeah. So I need to play one more little commercial here, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that childhood thing about the swimming in the sports and how that transitioned into your life and kind of planted those seeds of your slight edge advantage, because I think it's a very interesting correlation. So stick around for 1.5 minutes, support this sponsor. We'll be right back with Ono. Jeremy Torsk again here to talk to you about driving your business forward. And one of the companies that we always go back to when speaking about examples of this is IBM, a company that just about went extinct until they got rid of everything that didn't focus on their core business initiative. Payroll is oftentimes one of those bugaboo elements of a business that takes up too much time, too much resources, keeping up with compliance, keeping up with federal, state, local compliance taxes, keeping everything secure and safe and private. ADP is one of those companies that can do this for you and get you and your resources back to what makes you money. Have them handle your payroll. Payroll processing in just a few clicks. Taxes calculated and paid on your behalf. Talking federal, state, and local compliance. They have tools and technologies that help you attract, engage, and retain the right people for the right positions to drive your business forward. Workforce management tools, compliance, always focusing on the changes in legislation to allow you to focus on growing your business. Even benefits, 401k and the like. ADP, all your HR payroll and compliance needs made easy. Click the link below. ADP knows if they get you as a client from this link that you are a quality client. Because that's who listens to these programs. I make a couple of shekels because they got appreciation for you, and it doesn't cost you a thing. So it is a win-win-win. ADP, all your HR, payroll, and compliance needs made easy. Click the link in the description and get focused on your core business initiative again. All right. Welcome back to the Slight Edge Advantage. We're with Ono Coleman. And let me see here. Let me grab over onto my banners and check Ono out. It is at dynamicleaderdev.com. The website is dynamicleaderdev.com. And we were talking about really putting that engineering background to work in your leadership process. But we're going to talk about now more about your spirit and what separates you, gives you, made you the fighter that you were. I mean, you know, you had some physical, you know, liabilities in playing the sport that you wanted to play, which was water polo, right? And so you had to come up with some ways that differentiated you from the guys who had that longer wingspan or the longer height to survive in the water. So how did you kind of cope with what God gave you, but to still put that into work with succeeding in playing high school and collegiate sports?
Yeah. Look, and I think that I've thought about this over the years, like, can 2 inches of height really matter that much? And what occurred to me was that, like, yes, because you have a slightly longer wingspan, right? And as an engineer, you've got the longer lever arm, so you can throw the ball harder. I think the bigger factor, though, is the weight. You know, taller people tend to weigh more, and they can certainly carry more weight on their frame. So by the time I got to Stanford, I was 5'10", 156. You know, and I was playing against guys who were 6'4", 220. So, look, they're only a few inches taller than me, but they're almost twice my size, you know. So, and if you've watched water polo or played it, you know there's quite a lot of wrestling that goes on and grabbing that goes on. It's not like it's basketball. Physical. Yeah, I mean, basketball is very physical too, but it's all above the water, you know.
Yeah, that's a hell of a wrench to throw into the ointment there, right? The water part.
Yeah, yeah. So when you see the Olympics, you see the underwater cameras and all the grabbing that goes on. And so it's important to be able to do that. So what was interesting, my dad actually back in high school forbid me from lifting weights.
Wow.
You know, because he thought that would actually stunt my growth even more. And since I was trying to grow and be taller, that would help. So I was allowed to do push-ups and body weights, but I wasn't allowed to do that. Yeah, and he said, interesting, that I sort of rebelled against it as I wanted to at the time. But he said, no, look, you are never going to be stronger than that 6'4", 220-pound guy, or 100 kilos, whatever it was, you know, in using the system. So why try to compete with him in that domain? What you should do is be faster than them, because you're smaller and you could be more nimble and agile, and you should be smarter than them.
Hold on a second.
This is
I mean, I love that one. Smarter always trumps just about everything in nature.
I think it's really important. And look, we were watching the Olympics at the time. This was in the 90s, and there was a guy from Spain, Manuel Estiarte, who was, I think, 5'10", 5'11". He was one of the best players in the world. He was a captain of the Spanish team. So it seemed like there was hope. It is possible to be at the top of the game, even if you're not built like Michael Phelps or something like that. But so that early strengths focus, I didn't think about it at the time as like strengths or strengths finder, but that's forms a little bit of my coaching these days, is to really understand who I am and what I'm working with and what's the hardwired talent.
Right. Yeah. And that translates into everything that you do. I mean, you had that kind of, you're at that age, your brain is creating those hardwired connections.
That's right.
You know, so I never played sports. I played music because it was free, right? We were very poor and sports was very expensive. And even if it was even modestly expensive, we had no money. So I played, my dad had a drum set. I played the drums, but all of those, the counting and the listening and the rhythm and that all plays through my life. It was hardwired from a very, very young age in myself. So everything that you do when you're young gets hardwired. And hopefully you can see how those can benefit you later in life when you need to have that as a strength when you're going up against people who had different types of upbringing than you. And now they're going against you in a place where their natural abilities seem to help them out in the business that you've chosen. But you've got these other oddball things that, man, you put these in effect and that's a slight edge, but it is an edge. It gives you that advantage because they, you know, everyone does what they're doing. When you have that built-in advantage, you stick out, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, and just to bring a little biology and neuroscience into it, so it is literally a hard wiring. The neurons that fire together will wire together, and then your brain, if you do it enough, your brain will start to insulate those connections with a fatty tissue, the myelin sheath. And so if you keep using that connection, your brain is sorting for that and saying, okay, well, let's build that hard wiring and let's reinforce it. And now the signal travels faster and more reliably. So you're able to do that thing unconsciously.
Naturally. Yeah. Second nature. you know, we fought. I fought you for years. I fought for many, many, many years, both street fighting and then martial arts. And even to this day, I'm 52 years old. If I get a stranger come around the corner and scare the hell out of me, man, I'm in a fighting stance immediately without thinking of it, where 90% of people would go with, whatever. I'm in a bam. Right now, it's second. It's such a part of me that you cannot even think of it. It's second nature. But you aren't born that way.
You know? Well, look, I played a little music too. I played in high school. I played the saxophone. My parents wanted me to be well-rounded and not just a jock, so I had to pick an instrument. And in the 80s, saxophone was cool. So
yeah. In the 90s, still made it cool too.
Yeah, I mean, and I sometimes will ask people this. What percentage of the time do professional athletes and musicians practice versus perform?
Oh, man. That ratio is mind-numbing, and people don't pay attention to that.
I mean, it's unreal. Okay, so now
– and not only that, and I might be beating you to the punch here, but how are they practicing?
Well, so that's important, right? Because what perfect practice makes perfect, but any old practice makes any old result. So,
yes.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. No, so the punchline of this particular thought experiment is, now think about managers and leaders. What percentage of the time are you practicing versus performing?
And the ratio, how do managers practice?
The ratio is pretty much flipped. It's
in reality, I don't think of any practice for managers. And especially if it's in a bigger corporation, when they finally do get them pulled into some training, if they're a good manager, they're probably getting pulled out of those trainings to solve fires.
Bring the fire. Right. So you read a book in your spare time. If you're lucky, you get a coach. So you get a couple hours here or there of some insight, some reflection. But if you can have that growth mindset, the most successful clients I work with have that edge. They're constantly hungry. They're wanting to grow and learn. They don't want to get stale.
And I think that can translate into the most successful companies are the ones who provide that uninterrupted and unadulterated time for training, for practice, for their employees.
And then there's practice that's sort of off the field, and you know, athletes do this too. There's video review. There's getting your feedback. That's your 360. Yeah. There's textbook practice. You're learning plays. Then there are drills, and then there's actually scrimmaging, and then there are matches that sort of lead up to the big gold medal thing. So sometimes learning and development gets a little too separated from the actual day to day. But I think the best development is happening in hand. So you're practicing on the field. And maybe your coach is in there even watching you. This morning, I watched one of my clients lead a team meeting. And afterwards, we got off the phone and we did a little hot wash debrief. And he was able to get immediate feedback from there in the moment.
No pressure there.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, right? If we're not looking for that pressure, we're not looking to grow. Because that's where all the growth happens, right?
I think there's two cheeky sayings on pressure that I like. Pressure makes diamonds.
That's right. Yeah. So tell us about what you're doing today. Who do you help specifically? How do you help them? And how can somebody know that they are right to work with Arno Coleman?
Yeah. Well, I two things that I do. On the individual side, I do one-on-one coaching. And so that's for managers, directors, VPs, C-suites. I have a couple of CEOs that I'm advising. Then if we go the individual path, you're going to do some individual assessments to get to know your strengths. You're going to get to know a leadership assessment that helps you understand how many of the right behaviors are you doing and where are you stubbing your toe. It's called the leadership circle profile. It's one of the best ones out there. And then there's going to be some probably 6 months of where did we do work together, where you're going to do some reflection and you're going to start to understand more how you tick and is your internal system wired correctly for optimal leadership. It's a little bit like sports psychology maybe would be.
Right. Now, what industries, do you have a specific industry or a couple different types of industry that you like, that you prefer, that you, are you just management is management and sales is sales?
Yeah, like you said in the bio, you know, I've worked with Stanford Healthcare. I've worked with physicians and doctors who never got any leadership training, but suddenly find themselves in leadership positions. I'd say that, and I've certainly worked with a lot of engineers, and being an engineer myself, that helps.
It's often a good, good ability to speak some language, right? Some tacit knowledge too that they have and they're used to.
So often what's maybe a pattern, and I work with a lot of women leaders as well, and enjoy supporting women to have a stronger voice. I think the world would be in a lot better place if we had more women.
Amen. Amen to that.
So, or a women, or, you know, whatever we should say. So I think maybe the common theme is a lot of the clients I work with are very smart, very technically accomplished, and very good at their niche and their hard skill. Doctors, incredible doctors, engineers, very good doctors, lawyers, good lawyers, but they need to balance that out with a more comprehensive understanding of leadership and a more relational understanding of leadership.
Absolutely. And you could do this in no matter where they are in the world, right? Sure. Most of it's virtual. It could be in person if you're in California, but it could also be over Zoom.
That's right. It works quite well. And then, and then I'll drop in and observe some of the meetings as well, see how you're doing on the field.
And I know you've got some YouTube stuff out there, and it's Onno Coleman. So if you're, for the listeners, it's O-N-N-O, and then it's K-O-E-L-M-A-N. So Onno Coleman, look him up on YouTube, look him up on LinkedIn. Reach out to the website for Onno is dynamicleaderdev.com, dynamicleaderdev.com. Any words of wisdom on our way out of here?
Well, maybe I'll just wrap by sharing the second way that I also work with clients is on the team side of things.
Oh, yeah.
Fundamentally, the job of a leader is to empower others to do good work. And yet, throughout the leadership curriculum, most of leadership development is one-on-one. It's either that internal work, or it's how do you give someone feedback, or how do you coach someone, or how do you hold someone accountable? There's not a lot in the training about here's the care and feeding and creation of a high-performing team. That is its own unit, and it's got its own mental models and its own science to it. And so I often will work with leaders on their teams too, whether it's cross-functional teams or more functional teams, sales team, engineering team. If you want your team to perform better, there are some very clear-cut ways to analyze that, to diagnose where the friction is, and to understand that do you know the things to look for as a leader, those conditions that you can create?
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you being here on the Slight Edge Advantage with me, my guest today. I think we've learned a lot. We're going to do a lot of good stuff together. We're in some pretty big networks together. C-Suite Networks is where we met through Jeffrey Hazlett. A lot of great people on there. I know that you've joined plenty of coaches. I appreciate that.
We're looking at plentyofcoaches.com too.
Yeah, find them on Plenty of Coaches. I see some resources up there. So I'm looking forward to build that plane along with Onno and a bunch of other people here. Nothing is done alone. And I appreciate you being on this show today to turn some people on to Dynamic Leaders, Dev. And we are going to help some communities cultivating some great leaders.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy. All
right. Talk soon. If you are the kind of person who wants to get better, and we're talking about daily growth, 1% better each day, this is the place for you. Plenty of Coaches is the website that we have created that you can go on there and you can look at coaches giving feedback, holding court, basically the clubhouse with video, the clubhouse.com with video. It's the Angie's List for coaching. If you want to find a coach, try Plenty of Coaches. You'll find me there. You'll find a bunch of great coaches on there. It's totally free to join. Become a member. Find a coach. Get 1% better. Put in the description how you are looking to become 1% better. It's an infinity type thing. Never stop growing. Never stop getting better. We thank you. What is your Slight Edge Advantage? We'll talk soon.